We have talked about it endlessly over the last decade or so, and we've accomplished close to zip.
We know enough about our climate problem to know that it's serious and that we need to get started right away.
What we're seeing right now is a clear loading of the weather dice.
2015 was by far the warmest year on record since reliable global record keeping began in 1880, according to NASA, the UK's Met Office, and the National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration.
That's how none other than the Wall Street Journal delivered the news. Multiple data sets confirming the 2015 set the global temperature record we all expected. So far in 2016, the global temperature hottest hits just keep on coming. Welcome back, everybody. I'm NPR News Chief Meteorologist Paul Huttner. Today on ClimateCast, we're off and running at a record pace for another warmest year on record, so far anyway. First January, the warmest month ever globally compared to the 20th century average. Now, new satellite data in just this week shows February was the warmest month ever recorded globally, again compared to average. And get this, the data set from the University of Alabama Huntsville that showed this data, it's widely used by climate change skeptics to try and discredit more robust and highly accurate surface temperature records. It's an eye-opening development for climate scientists. What next? February's surface temperature data coming from the Japan Meteorological Agency, NOAA, NASA, and the UK Met Office. We'll be watching for that in the next couple of weeks. So here we are, 2 months in the book for 2016, and it's clear that planet Earth is off to yet another record warm start in this year. But is the background muzak of climate change, plus the still relevant but fading super El Nino, enough to equal yet another global temperature record this year? It's times like this, it's good to know that we can turn to John Abraham. He's a climate expert and a professor of thermal sciences and mechanical engineering at the University of St. Thomas in St. Paul. John, good morning.
It's great to be on your show today, Paul.
Hey, lots of ink this week on this with the new satellite data from University of Alabama Huntsville. Eric Holthaus, for example, in Slate says, the old normal is gone. Global warming is going into overdrive. John, I think all of us who wrote about this data release this week are a bit stunned by the magnitude of the warmth. Why is this one particular piece of data so eye-opening?
Well, maybe it's because the Wall Street Journal wrote about it. I mean, when the Wall Street Journal writes about a warming world, it must be true because they tend to heavily favor contrarian views. So it's a nice lead in there. Mm-hmm. But, you know, in this intro, so climate scientists can measure the state of the climate many, many different ways. We've got thermometers all over the planet. We've got temperature sensors in the ocean. We have satellites that are measuring ice extent and measuring sea level, and we're also measuring temperature in the atmosphere. And the temperatures that just came out this week were temperatures in what's called the troposphere, which is the lower part of the atmosphere. It's not near the surface. It's up a few thousand meters. But these temperatures have not been rising as fast as some people thought they were,
right.
And they were used as so-called evidence that climate change wasn't happening. And the latest data we are finding or we see come out is just blowing that out of the water. I mean, if you look at the actual numbers, they literally broke the graph. The temperatures are so hot. And so this is really the end of the last argument against global warming happening. Now, of course, a new argument will be come up with tomorrow, but this was one of the ones that the contrarians always turn to, and this one was just broken this week.
And it's interesting to note that even the scientists within University of Alabama Huntsville commented so forcefully on the magnitude of this warming. We're talking with John Abraham, University of St. Thomas, professor of mechanical engineering, about the pretty stunning data from the University of Alabama Huntsville this week, showing February the warmest month ever compared to average globally, as John puts it. They broke the graph. Do you have a question about this? Call us 651-227-6000 or toll free at 800-242-2828. John, you know, we're climate watchers, climate journalists. Normally this time of the year we're eagerly awaiting, or this time of the month, to see all of the surface data that's coming in from NOAA, NASA, other sources mid-month. Yes, we lead very exciting lives, don't we? But
right.
Based on this satellite data and how it compares with surface data in the past, do you think the surface data set, when it comes out, will also show February was the most anomalously warm month on record globally?
Well, I think February will be at or near the record for a temperature anomaly. That's an excursion from normal. The surface temperatures, which is the temperatures we're now talking about, the temperatures measured by NASA and NOAA, the temperatures where we live, they will be hot. Now, they don't jump as fast as the satellite measured temperatures, so I do not expect to see a huge jump in the surface temperatures, but I do see them at or breaking the all-time record. And as you pointed out, we're really starting this year out hot.
Right.
And as we know from listening to this show, the last 2 years have been all-time records. 2014 was a record, and then 2015 blew that out of the water. 2016 is looking to be a third record, a three-peat, so to speak.
Well, let's talk about that for a minute, because we're off and running, obviously, to, again, the fastest start. But as you know, looking at El Nino Southern Oscillation trends in the Pacific, most of the guidance is saying we go from this super El Nino that's near record strength to potentially neutral or a La Nina by next fall or winter. And so I guess a lot of climate observers saying, well, will we maintain this momentum that we've had, or will the atmosphere cool off a bit later this year?
That's the million-dollar question. So just for the listener's benefit, not only are we warming because of the heat-trapping gases we're putting in the atmosphere, but we have these natural variability in the climate. Just like tomorrow may or may not be warmer than today, and Saturday may or may not be warmer, but we know that as we go from January, February, March toward July, the general trend is warming. So you have a general trend, and then you have these short-term fluctuations. One of the fluctuations is caused by this thing called El Nino in the Pacific. And when an El Nino or La Nina cycle happens, the Earth can be temporarily warmer or cooler than average. And the Earth typically swings between a warm cycle to a cool cycle. Now, you're exactly right. We've been in a warm cycle for a while, about a year and a half or so. And the projections are that we will flip over to either a neutral or a cool cycle by the fall. Now, if we maintain the warm status until the fall, I think 2016 will break 2015.
Okay.
If we flip over in the summer, maybe June or July, I think 2016 will be around 2014. So that's my predictions, but we really don't know. It's going to be hot, we know that, but will it be first, second, third? We don't know.
Okay, this winter, remarkable. Eighth warmest winter on record here in the Twin Cities. Warmest in Barrow, Alaska, Minot, North Dakota. Second warmest in Anchorage, Boston, New York City. And the Arctic has been just ridiculously warm, 20 to 30 degrees above average. I'm sure you've seen this for a big chunk of the Arctic last month. What's your take on just how far out of whack this winter has been?
Well, it was really a crazy winter. And, you know, we live in Minnesota, and we expect to have a number of cold days. And we had a few this year, but not very many. And, you know, it's interesting. Paul, you and I talked about this El Nino coming, and we knew it was going to be a big one. I think we talked about this at the State Fair.
We did.
And we know how it affects winters. So not only do you have this warming trend, but then you had on top of that an El Nino. And for the first time in a decade, I didn't put that clear plastic wrap on my windows in the winter. We sort of knew it was going to be a warm winter. So part of this winter, though, was crazy warm. And it's not that every winter is going to be like that. I mean, let's think back 2 years and 3 years ago, we had that so-called polar vortex.
That's
right. What's happening is we're going on these big swings from one extreme to the other and then back to one extreme. And we see that all over the place, not just in winter temperatures, but in wet, dry cycles and in temperature cycles during other parts of the year. So we're seeing more extreme variation.
Sure.
Superimposed on the climate.
You know, I've described climate change and Earth's temperature as a set of stairs. It's not a straight line. There are steps up and then flat treads, and there may even be a few landings along the way, and then the stairs go up again. But over time, you go up the stairs, you look down, you've come pretty far. What do you think the trends of the past few years tell us about what we can expect in the next decade or two?
Well, what you said is exactly right. We want to look at long-term trends. If you look at just 1 year or the next, you can be made a fool. So just in January, Ted Cruz, in a Senate congressional hearing, pulled out these satellite data that we're talking about today and said, look, global warming has stopped. And 2 months later, he's shown to be wrong. And that's because you don't want to use short-term trends. You know, you don't want to look at a piece of data. You want to look at the long-term trends. And had he used the long-term trends, he would have known that his statements were incorrect. So what do I think is happening? I think that there's been a lot of talk about the so-called halt to global warming or a global warming hiatus. That has been blown away. I mean, it's been blown out of the water. We don't see the hiatus in the oceans. We don't see it in the surface temperatures. We don't see it in the ice loss. We don't see it now in the satellite temperature measurements. We've looked for it. We can't find it. So the best way to think about where we're going is to think about where we have gone from. So if you look at the last 20 or 30 years and you look at that warming and you extrapolate that over the next 20 or 30 years, that's a great place to start in terms of making a prediction.
Very fascinating stuff as always, John. I love this big picture perspective that we're able to enjoy when we have you on. It's been a very interesting year and winter, and like you say, we'll be watching the trends long term here to see where we're going. Thanks so much for explaining everything, all things climate, to our ClimateCast audience today.
My pleasure.
Well, that about does it for ClimateCast this week. I've got some exciting news to share about next week. I want you to join us on Friday morning next week. We're trying out a new half-hour show called The Weather Lab, and it will dig into basically the big weather stories of the week, and then we'll air a half hour of ClimateCast after that. Interesting to note, we've got Twin Cities news legend Hall of Famer Don Shelby on with us next week for ClimateCast. We're going to talk about why you're not hearing more on climate change on your local TV newscast. So the Don will join us next week for ClimateCast. So it's a weather geek climate dream hour next Friday at 10 a.m. on NPR News. Weather Lab at 10 a.m., ClimateCast at 10:30. I hope you'll join me and tell all your weather friends as well. Thanks for listening. And remember, though you can't see the whole world's weather out your front window, we can talk about it here. Happy meteorological spring, Minnesota.